We're going to go through a couple of verses in Scripture. And, so the beginning is not the end. So I want to go to Genesis 25, verse 21. Genesis 25. We're going to look at the life of Jacob. Very interesting character in the Bible, Jacob. Okay. So Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren, and the Lord answered him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. But the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it is so, then why am I this way?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples will be separated from your body, and one people shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger." And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. Now the first child came forth red, all over like a hairy garment, and they named him Esau. Afterwards, his brother came forth with his hand holding on Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years when he gave birth to them. Amen? In fact, actually, go to 27 for me, please. No, actually, we'll stop there. We'll stop there. So, as you see there, the two boys were born, and they came out. Esau came out first, and then Jacob come out holding his heel. Okay? Jacob contending. Right from the beginning, he was contending. As that was going through that verses there, it was saying that, there was a war going on in her womb, you know. And I believe that war was going on with Jacob, because Jacob wanted to be first, but he came out second. And he was fighting. Even he came out fighting. He was holding on to his brother's heel. He said, "Nope, I'm not letting you go. I want to be the first one out." Amen? But we will come back to that. But Jacob, yeah, interesting name. As we know, you know, he's known as the deceiver, the trickster, the supplanter. And when I saw that word, I thought, supplanter? What supplanter? What exactly does that mean? Supplanter means to take place of another through force, scheming, strategy, or the like. And when you look at the life of Jacob, supplanter fits him actually very, very well in the things that he did in his life. Jacob stole his brother's birthright. Yeah. He also tricked and schemed his father into giving him his brother's firstborn blessing. He's a supplanter, fits him very well. It eventually came to it that Esau was so angry about this that he wanted to kill him. So he had to run away. Jacob had to leave. He had to leave and go. Okay. So life for him didn't really start very well, did it? You know, all these things were going on. He used his mother to help him trick his father. In the end, he had to run for his life because his brother was going to kill him. And he ended up in Bethel. And when he was in Bethel, that's when he had an encounter. Now, when you have an encounter with God, you never remain the same. Ever remain the same. He had an encounter in Bethel where he saw a vision and he saw the ladder, Jacob's ladder. He saw the angels ascending and descending from heaven. Yeah. And then from there on in, he went on, and then we'll pick up his story a little bit later. But that's Jacob. So the beginning, that was his beginning. But the end for Jacob was very, very different. Okay? So there's Jacob. Now, let's go to Luke 15, verse 11. From verse 11, we're going to look at the prodigal son. It's another story. So, okay. So I'll read. And he said, "A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Give me the share of the estate which falls to me.' So he divided his wealth between them. Not many days later, the younger son, he gathered everything up and went on a journey to a distant country where he squandered his estate on loose living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in the country and he began to be impoverished." Okay, so again, here we've got a story of a young man. They had everything. He had everything he needed and he wanted, but he himself wanted a different life. He wanted more. He thought he knew better. So he thought, "Yep, give me everything that belongs to me. I'm going to go and I'm going to do what I feel I want to do." Okay. If we line this up, like, he was with the father, he took himself away and he went and did what he wanted to do. And his life suddenly turned around. From having everything, he suddenly became somebody who had nothing. Okay. I want to tell you a story about an old friend of mine, okay? an old friend of mine. Let's tell you a story about a friend of mine. So as a young man, he loved going to church. He grew up, loved going to church. He used to, in fact, run to church every Sunday. And so much so, he said his mum thought he was going to be a priest. Because that's how much he loved church. He used to run to church every Sunday, and his mum thought, well, this boy loves the Lord so much, I believe he's going to be a priest, and he's going to minister the word. And so as life went on, he grew up. He was actually a pretty good footballer, quite a good footballer. That started taking over life. So church life suddenly became secondary, okay? So much so he said that, they used to actually wait for him outside the church when he's at church to pick him up to take him to football. So halfway through church, he'd leave and he'd go. And as life went on, he got older. He started to go out, started partying, started drinking. And, how life goes on and on and on, that eventually took over everything. Church was no more, okay? That was his life. Just like the prodigal son, he went away and he just started living. In another translation of the Bible, it says immoral living. So we're talking about drink, sex. I hope it's not too early for me to say the S word, but I've said it anyway. Yeah. So he went to immoral living, and that was his life. And he thought that this is what it's all about. But that is just temporal, because it only lasts for a certain amount of time. And then you get to a point in life when you're like, is this it? Surely there must be more than this. And just like the prodigal son, he came to that point in life when he thought, is this it? Yeah? He's drinking. In fact, he said to me that, so much so that one time he was driving his car after drinking and crashed the car on the motorway, And when they saw the state of the car, they was looking at him thinking, how did you walk out of this without a scratch? When God's with you, he's with you. Yes. Just as we was hearing the testimonies earlier on, when he's with you, he's with you. And things that happen and people will be looking and thinking, how? But you know what? It's only God. Amen? So, that happened to him in his life also. And he, saying he had relationships. The relationship was not working. He's just messing up relationship after relationship. And there was children. And just lives were just being, slowly, slowly just destroyed by this whole lifestyle that it just wasn't working. It wasn't, things were just getting messed up. But you know what? God has a plan. Always. No matter what happens in life, God has a plan, okay? There's a way that seems right to man, but in the end of it, its way is death, And in this case, spiritual death, okay? He's still alive, but it was spiritually, he was dead, okay? But Jeremiah 29:11 tells us, doesn't it? So let's put Jeremiah 29:11 up. We all know this verse. He has a plan for each and every one of us. No matter what we do, no matter where we go, he has a plan. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. You see, no matter what we do and where we go, God has a plan. But the thing is, it's for us ourselves to line up ourselves, to be part of that plan. We can walk away and we can do what we like to do, but he still has the plan. At the end of the day, it's up to us to put ourselves in that place where that plan can be fulfilled. Amen? Amen. So, as I said, God had a plan. Now, you see, I was just saying that, he got to the point where relationships were failing. He was actually due to get married, okay? And even messed that up. The marriage never took place, okay? Because he messed that up as well. But as I said, God has a plan, And we said to me, God, what happened is God actually, he got saved first before he actually got married. Because if he'd got married first, the marriage wouldn't have worked. Because his old ways would have just destroyed the whole thing. But God's plan, God took him, God saved him, then he got married. And now he's happily married, and things are just great. But, it's about, lining up yourself to God's will. Amen? Yes, amen? Amen. So, our Father, he always waits for us at our point of need. He waits for us, we go, we do what we want to do, and he waits. And he waits, he's patient, he waits, And we go down this spiral staircase and we keep going and going and going until we're not getting anywhere. We're just going round and round and round and round until the time we decide we're going to get off. And I believe when we get off that spiral staircase, he builds us our own personal escalator and he'll bring us back up to him. Amen. So God, as I said, he has a plan for each and every one of us. And when we are weak, that's when He becomes strong, isn't it? You know, when we've tried all we know, we think we know everything, we do everything, we try everything, and then all of a sudden he says, right, you finished now? You ready? Okay, you coming to me now? Okay, then let's go. And that's when he shows himself. Amen? So, you know, our daily lives don't start at 9 and end at 5. Nor does our Christian life. It doesn't start when we walk in here and we walk back out of here. You know, just life in general itself, it doesn't start at 9. There's a preparation. All our lives, there's a preparation. Then we go through and we endure. And then we glean the fruits at the end of it. Okay, but it doesn't stop there. Yeah, the beginning is not the end because it continues. And we have to keep on learning and growing and seeking and trying to find, you know, what it, you know, the questions we ask is like, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? What is it that you have in store for me? Each and every one of us have a plan. God has a plan for all of us, but we need to understand what is that plan and put ourselves in the right place to be able to fulfill that plan. Amen? One thing about Jacob, I liked about Jacob, can you put up James 1, 3 to 4? He was a man who had endurance. He went through some stuff. You know, when he ended up going to get to Bethel, when he left Bethel and he went to his cousin's house, Laban. That's where he saw his wife, Rachel, and he wanted his wife, Rachel. Yeah, you know the story? Yeah? And he says, I want to marry your daughter, this one. And he says, okay, work for me for 7 years, and you can have her. He worked 7 years. Laban gave him Leah, the one he didn't want, the one who had, the wonky eyes. Yeah? He gave him Leah. He says, well, why have you done this? I wanted Rachel. He said, well, work for me another 7 years. He worked another. This man had endurance. Because how many people would have said, you know what? Forget this. I'm out. See you later. You know? He endured again. And he got Rachel. But even then, Laban still wouldn't let him go. He says to him, well, you know, what can you do for me? He had become exceedingly rich while Jacob was there. But he still wanted more. So he stayed there. Then he sorted out all the flocks. And then he left. Still to be chased by his father-in-law. What a life, you know. But endurance, okay. Do you put up, James 1, 3 to 4 for me, please? Okay, so knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfected and complete, lacking in nothing. Okay, so let endurance have its perfect result. It's good to endure. Okay, so that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. Okay, so there are times it's good to endure, you know, to get that result, and, you know, at the end of it, we'll be lacking in nothing. Amen? I've got here written, patience or endurance is the ability to stand fast in the word of God, even when your victory seems slow in coming. If you remain consistently constant, trusting in and relying confidently on the word of God, you'll end up wanting nothing. It will make a winner out of you. Amen. Amen. Endurance, okay? Jacob's story actually ended up quite well, you know. At the end of it, he left. He became very prosperous in Genesis 30, 43. His sons led the 12 tribes of Israel. Yeah? His second to last son, Joseph, saved Israel from a famine. God had a plan for that man's life. It started that way, but look how it ended. He became very rich. He became exceedingly prosperous. He had large flocks and female and male servants and camels and donkeys. This is not bad for a deceiver, a trickster, a supplanter, one who wants to try and be first. Yeah, that was in his mind what he wanted to do, but God had a plan. Amen? Amen? Amen. So I want to go back to the prodigal son. Luke 15, and let's go from verse 14. Luke 15 and go back to 14. So, now when he had spent everything, and a severe famine occurred in that country, and he became impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him in his field to feed swine. He would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving him anything to him. But when he came to his senses, there's the point. He suddenly came to his senses. And he thought, why am I here? I have everything back there. Although I've taken it, I've squandered. I have everything back there. I've taken myself, believing that I know what was the best thing to do. And I'm now eating pods with swine. Yeah? So, going back to my old friend, as I said, he came to his senses one day and he found the Lord. Okay, when he found the Lord, his life changed completely. You know, his life changed in such a way that, you know, it's unbelievable the things that he has achieved, the things that he has done, the things that have worked for him, you know, his marriage, his career, okay, his ministry. He's just you know, excelling in everything that he turns his hand to, okay? He's completely changed the way he thinks, the way everything he does. His circle of friends is completely different. Those who were there before are no longer there anymore, you know? He's gone on a totally different route and a totally different path, you know? But it takes that time when you come to your senses. You come to your senses, okay, and you think, wow, you know what? This is it. But as I said, you know, God is waiting. He's just waiting. He's waiting for us. He's waiting for us to do the things that we should be doing so that he can do the things that he wants to do, you know? And I believe that, you know, that for all of us, you know, that is, you know, I can't talk about other people's lives and what they've done and what they've been through, but I think, you know, we can all relate somewhere along the line about something where we thought that we know best, you know, whether it be at home, whether it be in ministry. Well, I don't really want to do this anymore. I want to go out there and I want to go and live life and party hearty and go and do this and do that. And then in the end, you think to yourself, wow, you know what? This isn't really what it's all about, is it? You know? So I just want you today to just kind of think about, you know, what you've been doing, where you've been in life, the things that you have done that you may be thinking, well, you know, Lord, I want to repent. I'm sorry, you know, for the things that I've done. I want to be part of your master plan. We have to ask ourselves, because God's got a master plan, a big one, and we're all parts of it, you know, and we need to figure out where we fit in and what we need to do to be part of that plan. Amen? I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to stand to your feet. Kojo about, please. I want you to just close your eyes right now. I just want you to just you know, in your own time, just speak to the Lord. Just ask him, what is my part in this plan? This plan that you have, Lord, for me, what is my part in this plan? What is it that I have to do? What am I not doing? If there's anything I'm not doing, what is it that you need me to do, Lord? And if you've come away from the Lord, I want today to be that day when you put yourself back in alignment with him. Just speak to him. Just tell him. Just ask him, Lord, what is it? What is my part in your plan, Lord? Am I doing the right things, Lord, that you want me to do, Father? Or am I still trying to do things my own way? I know your ways are the ways, but I still try to do things my own way. Let's today be that day where we do things his way. But as it was earlier said, if the results are not forthcoming, let us endure. Let us learn to endure. Because it will make a winner out of us. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for your word, Lord. And we thank you that today, Father, will be the day of change, Lord. The day when things start to turn around, where we start to see a difference in our lives, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.